Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. Out of the chaotic 18th century's grab for goods and gold and land and slaves to milk the magic out of the new land, there arose three giants from among the slaves of the Caribbean: Toussaint Louverture, Dessalines, and Henri Christophe, giants who liberated the island of Haiti and established a new state. Destination Freedom tells the story of one of these new world liberators. In a chapter entitled Black Hamlet, we bring you the first section from the life story of King Henri Christophe of Haiti.
In Haiti, in the heart of the Caribbean, there's an old legend about the waves that lick the side of the mountains like hungry tongues. They say at twilight on the mountain near the northern coast that juts out from the land like a devil's fist, King Christophe walks as he walked 100 years ago when he first climbed the cliffs upon which he built his castle and in which he destroyed himself. They say King Christophe begins to walk the lonely halls of his castle in his tomb and retraces the steps that brought him from the rock piles on the island of Grenada to the high mountains of Haiti. In the darkness of his corridor, they say the dead king walks and recalls the day he watched the older slaves tramp single file, carrying stones to build a fortress. And he watched idly while the overseer called out,
"Hurry! Hurry! Lift up the feet! Hurry! Hurry!"
And Farron, the plantation master, had come down to watch, and he was impatient.
"Overseer, can't you get him to work faster? They're slowing down."
"Hurry there! Move faster! Hurry!"
"This way it'll take a year to get enough stones up the hill to build anything."
"I am doing the best I can, monsieur."
"Well, that's not good enough. Faster."
"If I drive them harder, there'll only be more who will fall out."
"Then put more slaves on the line."
"Every able slave's working on the rock now. You forget, you have used all the slaves you had."
"Yeah, you're right. Now go on then, but drive harder."
"Naturally, monsieur."
"Hey, wait, overseer."
"Monsieur?"
"I thought you said every able slave on the plantation."
"I did, monsieur. I've called every one." "Oh, you're looking at the children."
"They just stand around watching."
"The children, monsieur. They come down to be near their folks."
"But we need more help on the line."
"Well, yes, monsieur, but we can't."
"Well?
They can't lift the stones. It would be killing them for nothing."
"What about that tall boy there? Who's he?"
"His uncle works on the line."
"He's thin, but I think there's strength in that body." "Yeah, I think I've discovered another slave who's ready to earn his keep."
And they say the plantation owner discovered Christophe playing and started him on his lonely walk towards the throne. They say the plantation owner eyed the gangling lad, felt his scrawny arms and back, and asked,
"Name?"
"Henri Christophe."
"Well, Henri, the overseer here says you're too young for the work of a mason. Wouldn't you like to learn the trade?"
"I always wanted to learn how to build, monsieur. I've asked to be taught."
"Well, forgive my negligence, but I own so many slaves, it's impossible to give them all the proper attention."
"Yes, monsieur."
"Overseer, you can start them out now. I've got another hand for you. Test him."
"Oh, well, sir, if you don't mind, I would rather wait."
"Test him!"
"Yes."
"In this trade, boy, in this work, one begins at the bottom by lifting. That rock there, it belongs up the hill where we're building. Lift it."
"Monsieur..."
"Would you rather exchange places with the boy, overseer?"
"Oh, no, no, of course not."
"Then obey me." "Well, boy?"
I'm trying to lift it, sir. I'm trying."
"Overseer, the boy goes about his work in a very dull manner. Suppose you give him some inspiration."
"Monsieur..."
"Your whip would inspire him to straighten his back."
"We'll see."
"Again! Again! Now, let him get in line behind the others. If he drops the stone, inspire him again. He stands there holding it. I knew there was some strength in that bony frame. Now move, boy. Move.
He doesn't move, monsieur. He just stands there, staring at us, holding the stone.
Give him the inspiration to move. Give it to him.
Monsieur.
Watch out! He's trying to swing the rock at me! Watch out!
And in the initiation ceremony, the slave who was destined one day to be king flung the stone towards the plantation owner and struggled with the master while the whip rose and fell, and finally felled Christophe.
He's down. I told you, monsieur. He was a wild one.
He must have a hurricane wrapped in that thin body of his.
You still want me to put him on the rock pile? He won't last under the lashes.
Tickle him with the whip again. Now, when he wakes, put him on the rocks and see that he carries his weight in stone. Yes, maybe you're right. Maybe he won't last. If his kind doesn't last, it'll be the best thing that could happen to the slave system. See that none of the other slaves help him carry his load. Let him carry his own cross.
All right, boy, on your feet, quickly!
And when the whip rose and fell, he pulled his thin frame from the ground and got into the rock pile line, and for 5 years melted inside the long line that moved up the hill. And if he had an inspiration at all, it was not the whip, but the sight of ships coming into the bay. One day he stopped atop the hill and looked down at the free sea, and his uncle warned him.
Don't stop here. The master's looking. Up by the ridge if you want to rest. Come on, follow me.
And the thin boy followed, and soon they stopped near the top of the cliff and looked down.
It's better up here. Much better. I see you like to look at the ships.
They look so free.
Some of them are free.
Which ones are free? Where do they go?
Oh, there are other islands. Jamaica, Santo Domingo, Cuba. I've been a slave on all of them. You escape here, it's worse than Cuba.
And do the ships sail past Cuba?
Even past Cuba, it's the same, Henri. There's America, the British colonies and the mainland.
If I could get there...
Slaves there too, son.
There must be some place where there's no slave. Only free men.
I don't know of any. Oh, careful, the guard's looking.
In this United States, you say there are slaves too?
Yes, but...
Is that why so many ships sail that way?
Well, yes, but for other reasons.
Go on, tell me.
Careful. There's a war going on in that country.
A war?
Yes. Those French pirates you see down there on the docks.
I've watched them.
They're waiting to get aboard that ship. You see it?
Who are they?
They're volunteers for this war they say is going up in America.
War?
Yes. You see them down there, lining up on the dock. America's where they're going. The colonies are fighting against the British, they say.
What are they fighting for?
Freedom.
If I should fight along beside them...
No danger. You'll never leave the rocks. Oh, watch it now, heads down.
If I could, would I be free?
I don't know. They say some of the slaves from Santo Domingo volunteered to fight in Savannah. What'll happen when they've won freedom for the colonists, I couldn't say.
I would like to find out.
Bend your back, work.
If I could get aboard one of those boats...
Oh, heads down. The master's coming.
The master came and saw the boy and the old slave working together and passed on. And when night came, the boy took another step on the road that led to the throne. In his tent that night, his uncle heard a stirring and called.
Henri, Henri, where are you?
Hush, uncle. I'm right here beside you.
Oh, you got your clothes on. What are you doing?
I wanted to tell you. I'm leaving.
Oh, you're out of your head.
I mean it.
They've doubled the guard, you know that.
Uncle, are you going with me?
Where?
To fight in America.
You're still thinking about that?
I'm going.
Son, they'll have dogs after you as soon as you're out of here.
Uncle.
Listen, son, I've escaped a dozen times. I know when it's wise to try and when it's foolish. You can't get aboard a ship. They've got the docks watched you.
I'll find a way.
You'll throw your life away.
Why should I save it to be a slave? Come with me, Uncle.
If I thought for a moment I could,
I'll help you. I can swim for both of us.
Never mind. I couldn't make it. You'd have to go up the cliff and gamble or jump down into the bay.
I'll take that gamble.
Yes. I see you will. But over the cliff, it'll kill you.
Then let it kill me. Good night, Uncle.
And he eased out from under the tent and got into the Caribbean, melted his black body into the night while the guards came down to the slave tents checking the tenants.
Honoré Christophe and Elder Christophe, answer when you are spoken to.
I'm here, monsieur.
What's the matter with your nephew? Can't he answer? Honoré. Where is Honoré? Guards, get out the dogs. Get the dogs out.
They got out the dogs and they picked up the boy's trail. And the shots rang out as he climbed up the mountain towards the cliff. The hounds drew closer as he came to the clearing and saw before him the dark, open span of ocean and the long leap down to the bay. He stopped, stared down into the ebony night, straining for the sight of the ship lights at anchor in the bay. And suddenly, the dogs broke through the rocks to the clearing and Christophe leaped to his destiny. And the overseer came and saw that the cliffside was empty.
Hold it, guard. Hold up the dog.
He came this way. I saw him.
Yes, I saw him fall off the cliff.
Good. No more than he deserves.
Sure. We can tell Pharaoh that he won't even have to dig no grave.
And the hunters enjoyed their joke, and they didn't hear Christophe gasp for air as he came to the surface, flutter for an instant, and then swim off in the direction of a sloop that lay inside the bay. He pushed towards it with his arms and legs and torso and fought to keep sight of the ship's light and finally pulled himself aboard, stood panting on the deck.
Your hands up, lad, if you don't want your head blown off.
Is this the ship?
You heard what the mate said. Your hands up.
What are you doing sailing aboard a ship like this?
I heard you were sailing for America.
You didn't hear we were taking on runways and stowaways. Back overboard with you.
I heard you wanted volunteers to fight in America. I'm volunteering.
Well, that sounds better. Much better.
You hit the right ship, lad. We're taking a regiment of slaves from Santo Domingo into Savannah for the siege. They've all volunteered. They're under the Count Artung.
Yeah, come along. Come below and meet him. Monsieur le Count, we've got another recruit.
Ah, bien, très bien.
He swam all the way out into the bay. He must be strong.
Can you handle a gun?
I could, monsieur.
We'll take you.
Good. Come along, lad. This way to your quarters.
He was taken down into the crew's quarter of the ship and met slaves from every island in the Caribbean. And as the ship set sail for Savannah, Henri Christophe was on his first step in the long journey of freedom. And they sailed into Savannah Harbor and were baptized in cannon fire. He slashed through siege line with tall black soldiers from Martinique, grizzled buccaneers of France, and lean-faced farmers of this new United States, dying together with queer fraternity for the thing they wanted most, liberty. And when the cannons were quiet and the living volunteers were gathered back into the belly of the boat, the Count had a message for the slaves.
Men, your attention. The leaders of the new states have asked me to give you their deepest thanks for the splendid valor of your attack against Savannah. You have extended the cause of liberty and independence to another section of the world. To me, they thank you.
Is that all, Count?
No. One minor point.
I know many of you have been expecting to remain here or be returned to the islands as free men. But I must inform you that all who formerly belonged to French masters will be returned to French masters. There will be troops in the forts we dock in who will see that this is carried out. Gentlemen, I regret this, but liberty is an elusive thing.
And there was mutiny on the ship, and one slave named Dessalines crushed the skulls of two troopers, but the boat sailed on towards Santo Domingo. In the evening, the hurricane howling inside him, Henri went below to the brig to comfort Dessalines, who carried his hurricane in his fist.
I see your fists are still bleeding from the fight.
Pass on, thin man. Let me sit in peace.
Are you from Granada?
I said pass on.
Are you an enemy of the slaves as well as the masters?
I am the enemy of any who don't fight against slavery every day, everywhere, every time.
After
the Count's speech, you didn't raise a finger. I saw your mouth open and your heart sink. But you didn't take your fingers as I tried to do and throttle him this way.
With your fingers, just your fingers, you crushed the pin.
One day with these fingers, I'll crush the slave system, too.
If I could help you...
Pass on, I say. Get to the other end of the ship.
I'd like to be your friend.
I want no friend. Will you go, or shall I handle you as the belaying pin?
Henri. Yes, Gabe. You'd better leave Dessalines to his fist and his fever. He thinks there's no one brave enough to join him in the rebellion against slavery. He broods about it. Let him alone.
I'd like to join him.
Why not join me?
Where?
They are taking me to the island of Santo Domingo.
Yes.
It's my home. A rebellion ready to break out like an earthquake once the earth is shaken right. And there's those who can lead the slaves.
Who lead?
Who led the slave regiments of the British at Santo Domingo and Savannah?
We did.
When the time comes, we lead the slave army at Santo Domingo. Try to get ashore when we dock. Now, quietly, get on deck.
And Henri remembered when the boat docked inside the harbor at Santo Domingo. And Henri was called into the cabin of the Count.
Ah, come in. Come in, Henri.
You wanted me to stay on the ship after the others left. Why?
Why? Because I'd like to save your life, if possible.
Very considerate.
Yes. Yes, of course. Those who go on to the island go to masters. That's the only way they're allowed ashore. You, Henri, escape from another island.
I'll never go back.
Let me finish. I need money badly. If you let me act as your master, I'll sell you to someone in Santo Domingo who I believe will appreciate your value. Mm-hmm. That way, you keep your life a little longer and I earn a few francs. Agreed?
Have I a choice?
I thought you'd see it my way. Well, Henri, pour yourself a glass of wine. We'll drink to my future as general in His Majesty's army, and to yours.
As a slave.
As I've said, Henri, liberty is an uncertain thing. But with you, slavery, I think, will be even more uncertain. Ah, merci. Vive la liberté!
And before the night was over, the Count had come into the town and knocked on the door of an innkeeper of the port.
The sign reads closed. Closed for the night. Can't you read?
Can't you tell the voice of a friend, Monsieur Marco?
Oh, Count, one moment, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, but the governor's ordered us closed.
I didn't come to buy anything.
No?
As usual, I've got something to sell.
Now, you know I bought the liquor imports you brought in some time ago. I'm well stocked. Now, if you'll please leave before the governor's men see
you... Not before you see what I'm selling.
Oh, where's your stock?
Outside, waiting.
You left it outside for the first thief to come along.
No thief will touch him, Monsieur Marco.
What are you selling?
A slave.
Oh, You're in the traffic now, too.
How the world's in it?
Well, pass me by. I've got all the help I need.
This one's trained in masonry.
It makes no difference. I can't risk having another slave around. The island's nothing but a cake of powder. Each week, France sends troops to watch for slave revolts. They expect it. No, it's a risk I cannot take.
Could you risk having the governor know you've bought high-grade liquor tax-free from me?
Oh, you drive a hard bargain.
I need money to pay for my commission in His Majesty's Army.
How much?
I'd say something for my general's uniforms. 4,000 livres.
You intend to dress well for His Majesty's Army?
The best. Is he sold?
Sold.
Good.
Henri! Henri!
You call me, monsieur?
I want you to meet your new master, Monsieur Marco, of the wealthiest hotel in Santo Domingo. And so, Monsieur Marco, I've done my good deed for Santo Domingo.
And the boy who would one day be king stood and stared long at the innkeeper who owned him. And the innkeeper read his mind and said,
"The average lifespan for a slave on Santo Domingo is 4 years. You think of revolt, rebellion, but there has never been a successful slave revolt on this island. It's the richest colony in the New World. A nobleman who pushes his slaves to their capacity can get rich in 4 years and go back to Europe. Forget what you saw in America. I'll find a place for you in my stables."
In the stables, he shod the horses and walked them through the crowded ports to their rich owners, and his own nostrils quivered and sucked in the strange air of the island that was a paradise for masters and an inferno for slaves. And even in the confines of the stables, he sensed the uneasiness in the air, and the horses neighed nervously at night. A visitor came in one evening while he was grooming them.
Easy now, easy.
One day, Henri, the only horses you'll shoe will be your own.
Cape. My good friend, Cape.
I've got another name. Forget the old name.
What is it?
You remember I said on the boat coming over, when the time comes?
Well?
The time is here.
How do you know?
Trust me, I've friends. Friends of mine are back from France. The Bastille's fallen. You must have heard of that.
A man does not get to hear much in the stables.
I'll be your ears outside the stables, if you'll be my eyes inside.
What do you mean?
Watch the masters who come to your hotel. When I return, give me their names and how many slaves they own, so I can visit their plantations and spread the word.
If I can.
Why are you uncertain?
I don't know. Give me time. Time to get to know the island and the people.
Time? Time is on the side of the masters, not we who want to be free. If you want to join me, help me. Keep your eyes open. When you see the physician, follow him.
Who is
Henri?
That?
Henri!
Yes, Monsieur Marco.
Lord Kenton's waiting for his horse. Will you hurry?
Very well, Monsieur.
Then I won't bother you if you're busy, my friend.
You're smart. He works hard and doesn't like interruptions.
I see. If you ever need a doctor, Henri...
Me? I've never been sick.
Working on the anvil all day might make you sick. If so, I know a very good doctor.
Yes?
Toussaint Louverture. Every slave on the island calls him when there is sickness. They call him the physician. When you need him, send for him.
See here! Always working. Now get out.
I'll be going, monsieur. Remember the doctor, Henri.
The physician. Who is this Toussaint, Monsieur Marco?
Oh, a fellow who knows something of herbs and medicines. A slave on the Breda plantation. Good enough for slaves, I'd say. But you won't get sick, Henri. I'll take good care of you.
I'm sure you will, monsieur.
And Henri, by the way.
Yes?
I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but there's a growing restlessness over the island.
Is that so?
They say a group of conspirators are helping the slaves, going around from plantation to plantation, making their contacts.
Oh?
Hereafter, I'll transfer you to the hotel's billiard rooms. You're not likely to come in contact with any messengers there. You hear me?
I hear you, monsieur.
Well, you can move into your new job immediately.
and the boy finished his job of grooming the horses, was dressed and taught new duties in the billiard room, and each day he racked up the nobleman's score with his stick, while the nobleman spoke of slaves and sails, of goods and gold, of ships and parties, and the boy who was destined to be king listened and watched and listened.
Boy, stop daydreaming. What's my score?
Oh, I'm sorry, monsieur. You've run to 16, 22 gold.
16, you say, boy? No, 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 that's my score.
I don't believe so, monsieur.
Well, I believe so. I believe you've slept and missed my rally.
I did not do that, monsieur.
You're calling me a liar?
Well, I know your score.
And I know a slave's place. There, you figure. And again.
The butt
and
the
meat. There.
End
take
of the
that.
Stick rose and fell.
Speak
rose
that
and
to me,
fell.
Will you?
This exercise was going on, and the Duke was finally getting tired of it, and the innkeeper came and interrupted the fun.
Here now, messieurs. Don't strike him again.
He called me a liar. Everyone here heard him.
Well, he's unconscious.
He's lucky to be alive. Teach your slaves better manners, Marco, you understand?
Well, I'll teach him. If he lives.
Oh, he's not too sick. His eyes are still open. Call your doctor.
No.
You see, he's still conscious. Nothing wrong at all. Nothing wrong.
And the noblemen went back to their game, minus their scorekeeper. And the innkeeper brought in the physician, the doctor of the slaves.
You, Henri Christophe.
Who is that that knows my name? Who are you?
I'm the one they call the physician.
I'm well. There's nothing a physician can do for me.
You have a sickness that's peculiar to the slave system, my friend.
Yes?
I've diagnosed your case, and I feel I have the cure.
What do you prescribe?
Freedom.
Freedom?
Speak under your breath, not above it.
When do I get the prescription?
When you are ready to take it. It's a strong medicine.
When do you deliver?
When you hear the roll. The drums from the mountains. It will be time to find your weapons. Join the physician and drink your prescription. It will be a long and bitter draft. You may die before you finish it.
Henri! Oh, doctor! Is he any better?
I believe he soon will be, monsieur.
Oh, good. How long will it take?
Oh, not very long now, monsieur. I think Henri Christophe has passed through the critical stages of his illness. Soon he'll get upon his feet and walk. And no man in Santo Domingo shall walk above him.
And the boy who was destined to be king listened long for the drum beats from the mountain. And they came, and they rolled him into a kingdom, and to his death. And they say that at twilight, King Christophe still walks the ramparts, retraces the steps he took to the throne, searches for the step that was fatal, and the mistake that led to the grave. They say in the lonely citadel, King Christophe still retraces his steps.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Part 1 of Black Hamlet, the story of King Henri Christophe of Haiti. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham, produced by Homer Heck, and directed by Dick Loughran. The role of Henri Christophe was played by Oscar Brown, Jr. The narrator was Tony Parrish. Others in the cast were George Kluge, Fred Pinkard, Russ Reed, and Dean Olmquist. Special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Westbrook and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Al Johnson. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will present the second and final chapter of Black Hamlet, the story of Henri Christophe, liberator of Haiti. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.